Hey folks, I'm Michael Phillips. I'm the advisor mentor of the U of I College of Media Roger Ebert Fellowship, and I'm here in the WILL studios with this year's Ebert Fellows, Amir Rahab, Jin Wang, and Paige Gaines. And we are going to talk about One Battle After Another, Paul Thomas Anderson's film based on a novel by Thomas Pynchon called Vineland, and it's a 36-year-old novel. We have a lot of thoughts about it in different directions, and we're also luckily going to be setting up this preview as kind of a you know, why don't you check it out for yourself reminder that there's a free screening Thursday, March 5th at 7 p.m. at the Spurlock Museum Knight Auditorium. This is an Ebert Center screening, and it will be free, and it's going to be on a bigger screen than you can watch it on in your hand or in your apartment. So there's, that's my argument for going. But the film imagines an America in the early 2000s, and in this fictional but recognizable alternate version of the U.S., there's a homegrown underground band of revolutionaries, or domestic terrorists, I guess, depending on your outlook, called the French 75. In the opening minutes of Anderson's film, we see the sabotage of a migrant detention camp, military-run, and it's basically a prison break of a sequence that the revolutionaries engineer on behalf of the migrants detained in this detention center near the California-Mexico border. The explosives expert in this group, played by Leonardo DiCaprio, is Bob Ferguson. Bob's partner in revolution and in love is Perfidia Beverly Hills, played by Tiana Taylor, and she is captured by the military, represented in this story by Colonel Lockjaw, played by Sean Penn, who becomes obsessed with her after he recaptures her in the wake of a disastrous bank robbery. By this time, Perfidia has left Bob and their infant daughter, Willa, played by Chase Infinity. She cannot really abide the new, quieter life post-revolutionary phase, and she's also suffering from a serious, heavy case of postpartum depression, so she splits. She is, in fact, also a killer because of the bank robbery that went south. And she makes a very uneasy bargain with her stalker, Colonel Lockjaw. Give up the names of her revolutionary cohorts, and she can slip into the witness protection program unnoticed. Writer-director Paul Thomas Anderson, I think, really gets going after the story jumps ahead 16 years, where we pick up the story with Bob and his daughter, Willa, now I think 16 or 17 years old, living up in the Northern California Redwood community. And Bob is basically a full-time stoner at this point, a burned-out revolutionary, and Willa becomes his somewhat bitter caretaker. And then the past catches up with them both. We'll start with you, Paige. Do you find that this total mashup of a movie where, you know, it's satiric one minute and serious the next, I'd say, do you find it particularly relevant or easier to take or harder to take given what we see going on in this movie with, basically the feds rounding up undocumented and probably documented, residents of America, kids in cages, all of it. Is that easier to watch or laugh at now or harder, would you say?
I think it's a lot harder because we're seeing that in our real world now. The movie is slated as a satire, but I did not see where it became outrageous as a satire is supposed to be. Of course, like, they're making fun of certain things here and there. There's some brief moments of light comedy, but a lot of it felt really true and really something that we are seeing in our modern day.
I think for me, it's not really relevant to me because it's like from a story of 1960s and 70s from the perspective of 80s. Mm-hmm. I think it's a long time. So for me, I don't feel like really relevant.
Mm-hmm. Did you find it easy to kind of catch on to in terms of like all that story I ground through at the top of this interview?
So the first time I seen this movie, I think I did struggle a lot of parts of it because the plot doesn't really move in a straightforward way. And sometimes it feels like the movie assumes to to already understand the political and cultural references.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I don't really understand. So if you are not familiar with the history of government surveillance, counterculture movement, you are really feel overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's better to do a lot of research beforehand to make you more understand the movie.
Or taping here, we talked a little bit about this scene that you found kind of caught your interest in, that were when Bob, DiCaprio's character, who's got all the time in the world to watch anything he wants, stoned on the couch, is watching a documentary called The Battle of Algiers.
Being from Algeria, you know, I lived there for 5 years, and then me just seeing that scene, that's when it actually kind of clicked in my head, and I was like, obviously the Battle of Algiers was about, you know, the Algerian Revolution fighting against the French. You know, Algeria was colonized since 1830 until 1962. I really liked the symbolism. Bob being part of, you know, he used to be a part of the French 75, which is also a team that has started a revolution against the government.
Right, right. The fictional version.
The fictional version.
In the context of the
story.
And,
you know, just seeing Bob watching that movie and then me just kind of connecting the dots.
Talk to me about what this film's visual stamp is, or what you find kind of visually compelling about it.
Yeah, there were two scenes that really stuck out to me in terms of the visuals. The first one was when Bob is on the phone for the first time with the French 75 after the time skip.
Right.
And they are arguing about the code words that you have to use to talk to them to get the information he needs.
Well, look, maybe I can give you some information, and then you give me some information, all right? We'll just share a little information. My name is Bob Ferguson. I don't know if you've ever heard of me, all right? I was part of French 75 for years, years and years, all right? They used to call me Ghetto Pat, Rocket Man, stuff like that. Only problem is I fried my brain since then, man. I have abused drugs and alcohol for the past 30 years, man. I'm a drug and alcohol lover, and I cannot remember for the life of me or the life of my only child the answer to your question. What time is it?
8:15.
Now, I need this rendezvous point. You understand what I'm saying?
We don't see that person until later on.
Mm-hmm.
I found that really fascinating, that we don't even know if he is talking to the people he thinks he's talking to.
Okay.
He doesn't. There's an air of mystery within this comedic moment.
Right, right, right.
That I thought was just really interesting.
Okay, good.
Jen,
did you have any particular moment or scene in the film that where you thought, oh, it's, you know, this is the work of an interesting director?
Yeah. So, something that looks really interesting to me was when the daughter get kidnapped and when she was in car. I think visually the camera work and the editing makes certain scenes feel really unstable. And for me, it looks kind of a memory instead of solid fact.
Well, this is the great thing about one battle after another. It works every way for every, you know, it's either too much or not enough. It's either too much of a comedy or too much of a drama. It's a very, very divisive movie just in the way it chooses to tell the story and what it chose, to pull from the original Thomas Pynchon novel, which was pure satire. And I think the film, to those for whom it does succeed, has Anderson's done a pretty sharp job of keeping just enough of the source material so that he can say it was loosely based on a novel I liked, but I'm making a different kind of film. So yeah, I don't know. I hope it'll play next week at the Spurlock Museum in front of a good student crowd, that half of whom probably have seen it and half of whom will be seeing it for the first time. That's the ideal setup. So I look forward to talking about it with you there. So Amir, Jin, Paige, thank you very much for joining us here at WIL to talk about One Battle After Another. Mm-hmm.